Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Today is a great day. Amen. Do you know why? Because Jesus is on the throne. It makes a big difference, I'll tell you. What's really good this morning is, I'm just going to switch this off so I don't launch it somewhere. What's really good is that we're going to hear loads of truth. This morning it's really on the whole covenant aspect of honour, and I want you to be partaking of these truths, because what I've done for the whole week really is just of a bit longer, probably the whole week, is actually receive them, speak them out, declare them over you, and the life over you. And we want God to be honoured in our lives, don't we? We want God to be honoured in our relationships. We want God to be honoured in the community. And we want God to be honoured in every part of our lives. So I'm going to go through some scriptures here, because it's each of them. I've prayed through these, and I just believe there's so much life. And I think Pastor Clive mentioned last week, Philippians 2 verse 6. Just hang on to your seats for a little bit, because we might shift a little bit fast. But by nature, he is God. But he did not hold on to his divine status of being equal in heaven with the Father. He was prepared to make himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant and becoming thoroughly human. He was a man in every respect. Even though he retained his divinity, even so, he humbled himself to such an extent that he obeyed the Father's will, that he should die the death of a criminal on the cross. Because of his obedience, God the Father has now exalted him to the highest place in heaven, and has given him the name that is far superior to any other name. Every knee in heaven, on earth, and even in the underworld will bow at the name of Jesus. Every tongue will have to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. For this is the Father's glorious will. Amen. Most of the scriptures in the New Testament are all going to be from the Truth Version this morning, because it's fantastic. Amen. And I really love going through these. But can you just imagine this? Jesus, who was with the Father, emptied himself down to the size of a human being, walked about. Still, he had everything of his divinity, but everything of his humanity. He humbled himself on the cross. He even bore everything that the Father asked him to bear. And then God now has raised him up, and he's raised us up in Christ, amen, to be seated with him in heavenly places in Christ. But raised up and given a name that is far beyond every other name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Every single knee. 7 billion people at this moment on this planet. I think it's working its way up towards that amount. And all of the generations before. Isn't it amazing? And for us, there's one thing that I really saw as a place of honour for the Lord. It says in Proverbs 15, verse 33, it says, "The fear of the Lord teaches a man wisdom, and humility comes before honour." Amen. What did it say of Jesus in Isaiah 11? He said, "He delighted in the fear of the Lord." Amen. You're allowed to say amen. Amen. You're allowed to grab hold of it, because it's true. He delighted in the fear, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. He delighted in it. And as we live our lives, we want to delight ourselves in God. We want to live as citizens of heaven, strangers on the earth, but citizens of heaven. Amen. But we're very much part of it. Psalm 62, this is all good news. I'm just going to keep firing these exercises of truth at you this morning, just for the first bit, and then we're going to get really practical. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, we are. Oh dear. My salvation and honor are in God. Amen. For he is the rock, that's Psalm 62, verse 7. For he is the rock who gives me strength and the one who protects me. He is my holiness. He is my righteousness. He is my redemption. He is my shield. He is my strength. He is my provision. He is my life. He is my forgiveness. He is my mercy. Amen. It's true. See, in him, because we're seated in him, united with him, because of that wonderful work of grace. Amen. There are only two scriptures in, another 45 to go. Colossians 1:13. This gets better. It just gets better, but it does. It's going to get a little bit ouchy towards the end. All right. Just bear with me on that. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has already rescued us from the dominion of darkness and has brought us into his own kingdom, the kingdom that belongs to the Son he loves." We're in the kingdom that belongs to the Son. We're in the Son. We're loved. Amen. Taken us out of that horrible kingdom and everything that almost like crippled us. Just because it's his work of his amazing grace, a work of his amazing mercy. It is through him that we have been made worthy. Amen. It's in him because we haven't got anything. There isn't a word like this. But we haven't got any worthiness of our own. Amen. But because he has made us worthy. He has made us worthy. In God's sight. Unpack that one. In God's sight. Holy. You know, we were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." You know, I said to the students the other week, this isn't just the angels there, you know, millions and billions of angels before the throne of God and the 24 elders around the throne and all of this happens, you know, the 24 elders look up, look at Jesus. What can they do? They haven't got anything left that they cast their crowns before. They lay their crowns before him. And all the angels are going, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And then all of a sudden they get like a diamond. They get a facet of his holiness. They get something that they haven't seen before. And, you know, and after the, you know, 24 elders, they get up off of the floor. They go, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They're seeing another revelation of his holiness forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Our God is mighty. Our God is amazing. Our God is big. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Every facet of his glory, all the creatures in heaven giving him glory and honor. And God has placed us in him. Get hold of that one. Isn't that just absolutely amazing? Well, I think it is, and it's making me happy. I'm not going to live up looking at myself because it's not good. More good news. Ephesians 1, 13 to 14. But you also, just say to your neighbour, you also. Like us, were placed in Christ when you heard the truth of the gospel of salvation and believed. Then he marked you in a very special way by placing his personal seal upon you. He gave you his own promised Holy Spirit to live within you. Amen. Placed his seal. The gift of his Spirit is a deposit from God that guarantees our inheritance and keeps us as though who are of those who are his possession, living in the power of his redeeming love, that we might live for his praise and glory. What an amazing thing. God has given us the deposit of himself. Christ in us. We sang it at the beginning. Christ in us. Thank you, Jesus, that I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, the life that I live. I don't live looking at myself. I live by faith in what he's accomplished. I live by faith in everything he's achieved. I live by faith in his victory, by faith in his breakthrough, because he's already won it when he said it is finished. Amen. It's true. I have been crucified with Christ. But what a wonderful thing for God to even consider. He knew that we couldn't do it in our own self. He knew that, you know, for hundreds of years, thousands of years, the guys just had the law. Just the law was hundreds of years. They had the law. Thousands, just checking. They had the law. And he told them how to live, but they couldn't live it. They couldn't meet the demand. So God said, there's only one way. I've got to come. I've got to come and I've got to break through. I've got to experience. And it says in Hebrews, he was like us in every way. I've got to live that total work of obedience to the Father. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Amen. We are his joy. Yeah, we are his joy this morning. It's true. It's true. And what's fantastic about it is that he then said, he says, wait, you know, in the upper room, wait for the gift. Wait for the gift, the person. We have the person of the Holy One, the Holy Spirit living in us. We can live the life of grace. We can live in the power of the Holy Spirit. God gives, if God places a demand on us, he's not a sick God and places his demand and then all of a sudden he says, do this in your own strength. He doesn't. He says, I've given you my Holy Spirit. Live it out. Work it out. Amen. We have this wonderful person in the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
That we might live for his praise and glory. Romans 12, verse 1 to 3. It gets better. In the light of this wonderful mercy God has shown us, I strongly encourage you, brothers, as my brothers, to give your bodies to God in living sacrifice. Do what is holy and pleasing to him. This is the kind of worship he really wants. And that is the outworking of the life of his Spirit who lives in us. Amen. God wants us to honor him. To honor him in our lifestyle. To honor him. But it's the outworking of the life of the Holy Spirit being worked out. The most amazing thing is that we are to honor the Holy Spirit, honor the Lord. Now, what does he say next? In order to live like this, you cannot also live according to the standards of the world around you. You need a completely different mindset so that you are certain of God's will for your life and you're prepared to put his will into action, for his will is good, it pleases him. Because it is imperfect. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Perfect. Yeah. Good. Oh, sorry, perfect. I'll read that again. If I made a wobbly on that one, I will read that again. You need a completely different mindset so you are certain of God's will for your life and are prepared to put his will into action. For his will is good. It pleases him because it is perfect.
That's it.
Amen.
Come on. Good stuff.
I can do with all the help I can get. It's fine. It's good. I just love him. I just love the Lord. Isn't he so gracious? Yeah. You see, that life of honor is because we've been fearfully wonderfully made. Colossians says that we were chosen by him and for him. We were chosen for his glory. We were chosen that we would reflect and live out that life of Christ in us to our friends, to those around us. Why do we need a different attitude, a right attitude? Because we live in the world And Psalm 12, you don't have to turn there, it's just verse 8. It says, the wicked freely strut about when what is vile is honoured among men. We're going to see God turn the tide of a godless generation. And the thing complete, that's what we're living for this thing completely to spin round. What is vile and as wicked is honoured, but we're going to see the transformation of that. But what's really important is that we can't be people that fill ourselves with the wrong stuff, fill our lives with the wrong stuff, fill our thinking. If we're not thinking in the way He's thinking, because we can have connection, we have the mind of Christ, but God wants us to think the way He thinks. God wants to live in a different way because we have Christ in us. If it was ever to sum up the commands and the covenant of God, if it was going to sum up, this is Matthew 22, verse 37. It says, Jesus answered, you are to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul life, every aspect of your personality, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important of God's commands. The second is similar. You are to love your neighbor in the same way that you already care about yourself and your own welfare. Everything that is taught in God's law and by the prophets is based on these two commandments of love. It's a different culture. It's a kingdom culture. Amen. Honor is, in a sense, is such a part. You know, we are to honor others above ourselves. But it's a kingdom culture. It's a kingdom mindset. Now, this is where it's going to get start. I'm going to start to be really practical. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. How many times have we read this? What does this actually mean to us? How do we apply this, that revelation, into our hearts? Surely you realize that God has made your body a temple of the Holy Spirit, who now lives in you. This is God's doing, and so you do not belong to yourself to do as you please. God has purchased you for Himself. He has paid the price for you with His Son's blood. So honor Him in the way you use your body. The most important thing is that we have been purchased. What was the price of us being purchased for God? What was the worth that was found there? What was the price that was given? That Jesus' own blood flowed from that cross. He bore the punishment. He bore what we were really the result of our sin and the result of our separation, the result of everything that's happened to separate us from God. That precious blood has purchased us. Right. Are you living? Are you living in a way where you honor the Holy Spirit? Where you honor the person of the Holy Spirit? Where you living in a way where I don't want to be in a place that, you know, it says that I keep on sinning that grace may abound. No, no, no. It's in Romans, isn't it, there? Yep. We've got to live. Live to honor. Live. Our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Our bodies are a place where God dwells, where His very life wants to be communicated to others, into the community, into our neighbors, our friends, our family. Lord, am I honoring you? Am I honoring the person of the Holy Spirit? My body is a temple, a place where you dwell, Lord God. I haven't written many things down here, and What I don't want us to do now is get super spiritual when I say this. But I've, in my own heart, in my own life, do I live in a way where I have an audience of one, and his name is Jesus? Do I live in a way where I continually have an audience of one? Because when we read Hebrews 4, verse 13, it says, there is nothing in the whole of creation that is hidden from God. He sees and knows everything that takes place. Yes, everything is exposed before his eyes. We are naked before him. And it is to him that we will have to give account for what we have done with our lives. It is to him. Am I living my life with a temporal mindset, just with a temporary, just with, in a sense, today? Or am I living with an eternal perspective? When we live with an eternal perspective on our lives, we're living for something so much greater. We're living for the glory and honor of his name. Come on. Amen. Sometimes it's so easy just to focus on the now, and I do understand that. But I want to live with the reality of the fear of the Lord in my life, because I honor God with every part of my life, every aspect of my life. And this is where some of the practical things about the way that we now honor the Lord in our lives. And then the way that possibly that we honor each other, and then the way that we need to rightfully so, just, you know, in a right heart, submit to leadership. And then we're going to unpack some of those. I was really encouraged the other day, and I think in one of the encounter nights, Pastor Colin had this scripture. I think this is so, but he will let me know. He says, be sure that no matter what you do or say, you are able to do everything in the name of Jesus, because you do what pleases him, and you do it with thankfulness to God the Father because of all you have received in his Son. Whatever we do, we are to do for the glory of God. Whatever we do. And I want to get... Do you know, it's sort of... 20 years ago, when was the internet invented? How long was the internet? When was the internet invented? How long ago was it? 22 years, yeah. When I was little, that was a miracle. I know you might be using your imagination there. But when I was little, when I was growing up, we didn't have the multimedia that we have now. We didn't have all of the things, you know, the Twitter, the Facebook, yeah, the Skype. What a wonderful invention that is. Talk to someone across the other, you know, part of the planet, and they're there on the screen, and it's free. But you see, if the Lordship of Jesus does not invade these areas, we can get deceived. Right. Because it says, whatever we do in word or deed, we do unto the Lord. The Lord showed me an illustration. Now, there's no one in... I'm not accusing anybody in this church, okay, of this, but the Lord showed me a picture. Imagine that it's over the winter period, okay, you collect for 6 months all of the rubbish that you've eaten and all the stuff that you've thrown away, all of that rubbish, you collect it. And you've got a sort of fairly big, very big garden, and you lay a tarpaulin out, and then you plonk all of the stuff onto the tarpaulin. And then what you do is, you say, I've got a great idea. What I'll do is, I'll invite all my friends to come round and have a look at it. But that's what we do sometimes with Facebook. Come on. Yeah. This thing stinks by now. And it's got things moving and crawling on it, and it's got flies on it, and we know what they are, but we won't go near that one. Yeah? When something stinks, it attracts flies. Not good. And we feel, I don't know, maybe just me, in the culture out there, we feel just to let go of all of our rubbish and this is what I am and this is what... We can't do that anymore, church. We're a royal priesthood. Amen. I do get understand the concept. If you're having a bad day, you talk to your mate. But you don't invite 300 of them to come and see your rubbish. Do you? I don't. How nuts is that? 300 of your best friends. My word, Gary's not in a good place. There's not a lot of good coming out of his life.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's good. Very good.
Why? Because, you see, if we're living with the fear of the Lord, we're going to live in a different way. We're gonna live for the glory. Whatever we do, in word or deed, we haven't even got to that one yet. Word or deed. Think of the emails. Think of the thousands of emails. Just think of the power and the ability of an email. I'm going to give them my opinion. And I'm going to be written, you know what I mean? And we would go, whoa, like that. And the other person on the other end is hurt or damaged.
Right.
Now, we've had a situation in our lives where a situation with a Facebook, something that happened in our lives, could have destroyed our family. I tell you, I stand here now for the grace of God. If it wasn't for Pastor Colin, Caroline, Pastor Clive and Jane and the elders... That stood with us in a tremendous storm of something that happened just of a simple mistake. Yeah. Something so powerful. The presence of God has to invade everything. This has to be everything. Whatever we do. Whatever we do in word or deed. The funniest thing, remember Pete, we had Pastor Colin did a whole thing about speaking, it was years ago, didn't we? About speaking what is right. We got in the car, we drove down, because I was in part of the worship team then, we drove down and we went, no. Pete looked at me, no. It was so funny, we couldn't say anything. What does that say? It's funny, and you were like, no, that's not going to be good to criticise someone, is it? No.
Very good.
This has got to be practical. It's got to be real.
Come on.
Now, remember that these are the words of Jesus, so please don't stone me on this one. James 3, verse 9. We use the tongue to praise... our Lord and Father, and yet we can also use it to speak curses over people whom God has made in his image. So out of the same mouth comes both praise and curse. My brothers, obviously this should not be the case. How can fresh water and salt water still flow out of the same spring? My friends, is it possible for a fig tree to produce olives or a vine to produce figs? Well... is it possible for salt spring to produce fresh water? One of the funniest things I ever heard was, I'm not going to name them, but it was another leader. And him and his wife were on the way to church, and they were having a, you know what I mean? And the kids were like, it was like World War III had gone off in the car. And it was like, dong, 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 backwards and forwards. And, you know, when the temperature starts raising and the voice starts going up, you know, because you're out of control of the situation and you think, by raising my voice, it's going to make it better. Wrong! You ever been there? Yeah? And, you know, this is going on. And the moment they walked into church, hallelujah! Praise you, Jesus! Oh, God, you reign! It's got to make a difference. It's got to make a difference in our lives. The reality of this surrender. The reality of this honor, reality of the covenant that we're going through.
Come on. Very good.
This is the second thing I've written down here. What is honor and respect is the recognition of the other person's worth or value. When I give honor or respect or acknowledge the other's dignity and value or worth. Honor recognizes the worth and value of men and women made in the image of God. If I dishonor the people around me, I impoverish my own life. I demean its significance. I act as if it relates to worthless people. You see, when I use my tongue and when I speak, is what I'm speaking, honoring God. Am I speaking 1 minute of praise, you know, in the auditorium and, you know, before people, and the next minute I'm speaking a curse over their lives? It can't be like that. It can't be like that. Do you know, I've walked through stuff, and, you know, Pastor Colin Caroline would know some of that stuff, where, do you know, as men, I'm going to talk to you men now, you got to handle, you know, there have been times, I love Pastor Colin, and he has fathered me. And when I've done some stuff wrong, he's helped me, he's come to me, and he's been really up for, you know, been really honest about it, and I've had to work through stuff. Do you know what the best thing to do is? That you work through that with God. You don't go back and tell your wife and of all of that stuff and all what's been happening and everything, because sooner or long, if we use our tongues in the wrong way, and we're fighting, in a sense, fighting what's happening, we use our tongues in the wrong way, all of a sudden, not only am I got an issue, my wife has got an issue, and my kids have got an issue. Yeah. And we got to live in a way where we got men, you got to man up.
Come on.
Amen. Yes. If you're dealing with stuff and you're dealing with stuff and it's, you know, in some way it's to do with leadership or whatever, go to the leader. Deal with it.
Come on.
Yeah, deal with it with the person. Don't spread it. I've seen a family go from an amazing situation into the most incredible darkness because of that one decision.
That's it.
And if you see the brokenness of these lives and see what's happened because of it, you think differently because of those things. So we're going to honor one another.
Yes.
We're going to speak what is right.
Yes.
We're going to speak what is holy. We're going to speak to each other. We're made in the image of God. What was the worth and dignity? The worth. What was our worth? How much was it? It was that precious Jesus. That precious sacrifice, it was precious. That was the worth. But we're in Him. Amen. Oh, it gets better. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I really loved you. You've got taking me through this. Luke 11:34. Your eye is a lamp of your body. Luke 11:34. When your sight is good, the whole body is full of light. Amen. But when you look at what is evil, your body is full of darkness. These are the words of Jesus. Be careful, therefore, and ensure that you are filled with light, not darkness. For if you are full of light, there is no room for spiritual darkness. And you then live in the full radiance of light that shines on you. Now, what are we saying in that? We need to honor God with what we watch. We need to honor God. Joyce Meyer had a fantastic quote. She says, what you're full of, you're going to have to feed on. And we need to feed on the truth. We need to feed on what's good. And our eyes, you see, our eyes, it's like a lamp. What we consume. What difference does this make now in us after hearing this today? Don't desensitize the Holy Spirit when He says to you, Gary, this isn't good, switch the television off. Yeah? When that still small voice, saying, Gary, this isn't right, switch it off. Don't look at stuff that's going to corrupt your spirit, going to affect you as a person. It's going to affect the way that we shine. The way that we, in a sense, the gospel. You know, if we take authority over some stuff, you know, in a sense, and we might do, you know, a bit in a minute. But we take authority over an unclean spirit, because that's what they are. I'm not looking at anyone in this room here, but I know the Lord said to me, there are some men that are caught in pornography here. Now, he has provided a way. And it's like you got locked in a prison. And God's saying to you, you can step out of the prison today. Let my blood cleanse you. Let my blood cleanse and break all that stuff off. Because it's an unclean spirit. Do you know what? The enemy is a nasty piece of work. And what he wants to do, you see, I've seen the enemy. I've seen this kind of as a pictorially. It's like a raging bull with absolutely no mercy, and so dark there is not one bit of mercy in him. We give the enemy an inch, and he will take the lot. Yeah, we got to know that. That's why this covenant thing is so important. That if I'm walking in that way, there is no condemnation for those in Christ. But what did Jesus say? He said, sin no more. That's right. Repent. Spin away from it. You know, I've had people in my life where I make my life transparent to Pastor Clive. I tell him the warts and all. I've got other people that I can look, have an eye to eye conversation in the church. Men, you don't need to live in a prison this morning. God can take you out of the prison. It's not what you're called for. You're called for the glory of God. If you've seen pornography I've seen it take someone out, and what does it want to do? It wants to kill, steal, and destroy. It wants to destroy the person, probably destroy the marriage and destroy everything. It's an unclean spirit. It hasn't got a place of influence in our lives. Amen. Because Jesus destroyed the works of the enemy, made a public spectacle of them all, placing them under his feet on the cross. Amen. Am I living as like an audience of one? All day. Am I living? Now, I know the Holy Spirit's, again, don't get super spiritual on me. I know the Holy Spirit's there to guide us and lead us into all truth. That if he's speaking to you, Holy Spirit, is this good? No, switch it off. Come away. We have ability. Do you remember the days before remote controls? Do you remember the string? The string that was attached, we thought it was so. You can switch something off. Amen. See, what does this actually mean? It means that I recognize that I honor the Holy Spirit so much, I want to live in a way that honors him, and I'm not allowing darkness to fill my life. I'm not allowing it. It doesn't need to happen because I'm chosen, holy, accepted, loved, forgiven, blessed, healed, restored. Yeah? Why shoot yourself in the foot? What's the point? It's just gonna cause you harm and probably your family harm. Philippians. Our minds. Philippians 4, verse 8. This is good news. What then should fill your thoughts? Whatever is true and noble and right in God's eyes. What is pure and lovely to him. What he admires. Which is everything is excellent or worthy of praise. Amen. You see, our minds, it's our responsibility. Have you ever seen, been past an airport and you've seen all of these planes stacking up? It's quite an amazing sight to see. You can see for miles, you can see about four or five planes. They're stacking up about, I don't know, they have to be quite a few miles apart, otherwise the turbulence. And I want you to see yourself as like you're the traffic controller, right? And here comes a plane, and it's a thought. Here it comes. It's like, morning, this is Jumbo 417 flying in from hell. Doubt and unbelief and total despair. I would like to board at the airport, please. And we go, yeah, come on in. I'll only let you come on in. I'll give you the lights and show where you can park the vehicle. You can dock at this one, in, you know, but onboard, you know, the aircraft. No, no, we have the shield of faith to extinguish every dart of the enemy. You've got air traffic control. It's called the Holy Spirit and your wisdom connected to it. Don't allow an aircraft in that's not supposed to land on your nut because it's not good for you. Okay. This is a no condemnation one, right? If it starts taxiing down the runway and you twig it's taxiing down the runway, in Jesus' name, you are not landing. Bye-bye. Amen. What do we do? This doesn't matter. You know, this is Jumbo 971, completely depressed and looking at yourself, aeroplane. What do we do? What do we do? Oh, I've been looking at myself and I'm like a little miserable. Oh, come on. In you go, in you go. Oh dear, I don't feel so good now, do I? We do. What's that all about? We have the shield of faith to extinguish every fiery dart of the enemy. Every dart. It's so funny, isn't it? I'm feeling depressed. What have you just allowed to land? You know, do you know what I'm saying? You see, we've got responsibility. We can connect to the mind of Christ. Yes. Millions upon millions upon millions of the thoughts of God. That God has thoughts about us that outnumber the grains of sand on the seashore. Every one of those thoughts is holy and righteous and good for our well-being. We have the most fantastic search engine in us and it's called the Holy Spirit because he wants to guide us and lead us into all truth. And when we do allow something to taxi on, you can be forgiven as long as it takes off. But don't ask him to come round for a second time. It's not going to be good.
Come
on. Okay. For we must be sincere, as Romans 12, verse 9. For we must be sincere about the way in which we live. We love others. From the heart, not simply as a duty. We should hate anything that God regards as evil. But love what he considers good. Do you hate what he regards as evil? Or do you, no, I'll just bring my friends round. You know, well, I'm sure it'll be all right. No, you need to hate what he regards as evil. Because he has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It's true. Last thing I'm just going to share with you, and this is really important, is Hebrews 13, verse 17. I can say this because by God's grace, I've tried to live this. And like Pastor Colin said, I can't live this unless it's not a reality in my own heart. How do you see the leadership that God has given you? You see, I see Pastor Colin and Pastor Caroline and Pastor Clive and Jane and all the leadership. I see them through the eyes of you know, almost like they're the most amazing gift that God's given us. And that I can receive of them. My life has been, there have been many occasions in my life when I could have chosen to for me and Rachel to swing just a little bit that way, but a few degrees at this point leads us to miles out of the way down the road. And if it wasn't for these, you know, amazing men of God that actually said, hang on a minute, Gary, that's not right. Yeah. It's not about being authoritarianistic or anything like that. It's about they love us so much that they want us to walk in God's purposes and they want us to live in God's purposes. And they don't want us to live in compromise. They don't want us to live, you know, a few degrees off of the mark. And sometimes it can appear tough. But we need to honor, we need to obey. It says it's important to obey your leaders and submit to the authority God has given them over you. For they are to care for you as those who will be held accountable to the Lord. Do you know what that feels like? That responsibility. Yes, grace is given us to walk in that. But the responsibility of that. So we really need to honour Pastor Colin and Caroline and Clive and Jane, the elders, all the leadership. By being obedient to them, they will enjoy fulfilling this responsibility. It would not be a tiresome burden to them. Certainly you will gain no advantage from making life difficult for them. When God wraps up the shop and he folds all the world up, and you know, like garments, and we come before that throne of judgment, that's an awesome thing that we're going to be, you know, we've got to live the message. It's an awesome thing to have that responsibility. But we need to obey our leaders. We need to honour one another. How you see people in the church. When you get the broken and the destitute come in, what eyes do you see? How you look at people? Are you looking through the eyes of love? Or are you going to look through the eyes of judgment? Are you going to see that, you know, okay, at the moment, they're not quite there yet, but they're made in the image of God and God wants them for his glory. God wants to literally possess every part of them for their lives to be surrendered to them and to know this incredible love and incredible joy. We need to honour. Yeah, we need to honour our bosses. I worked in a factory. I've probably told you this before. Why I'm so thankful. I worked in a nappy factory for years. I did. I was on these huge machines. And when I don't think anything, so I was saved at the time. And then I got sort of born again through the process. The difference is like light, dark and light. My attitude to my boss changed. I was a right so-and-so. You can't do this. You can't. When I became a Christian, everything changed. Why? Because I recognized even my boss was someone that God had placed in there. All authority in heaven has given, you know, us. I'm not even going to go near traffic. You know, if I mention one word to you, what's the instant thought? Traffic warden. You see, God's given us people. God's given us, you know, how do we respond?
Yes. Come on.
You know, the government, the local government. We can't come in here and have a victory night in prayer, you know, and we're really praying for our leaders. If we spend the next 15 days, you know, slagging every politician off, you know what I mean, and condemning them, speaking ill over them, right, and then to rock up to church and God goes, I think not, you know, I think not. You haven't been saying that one all week, Gary. It looks great on the outside, but what's the inside reality?
That's good. Come on. Come on.
And we're starting to make these connections in the local community. Well, we need to honour these people.
Absolutely. That's it.
But it's a heart thing that God wants to do. Should we stand together, yeah? Can I have the band up, guys? Yeah. Going to worship for a bit. Let's just lift our eyes to him. Father God, Jesus, I thank you that you are rich in mercy and abounding in love. And before you now, Lord God, I want to live in the reality of that truth, that whatever I do in word or deed, I do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And for those today where you know that you haven't really been honoring the Holy Spirit, just speak to him now. Just ask for that forgiveness and for that cleansing right now. Just speak to him. Holy Spirit, I want to honor you in a new way. Where I've fallen short of the glory of God, and when I haven't done that, Lord, I thank you that now, Father, I do repent. I do turn away from that. Lord, and Father, for any men here now, where your eyes have got locked in this prison, Jesus, I ask your forgiveness for how I've used my eyes to focus on what is evil and what is dark. Right now, Lord Jesus, I repent of that. I turn away. I close the door on. And I ask your forgiveness, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, the words that I've spoken where I've dishonored people. I say one thing in church and yet another when I'm at home. Where I've used my mouth, Lord God, to express what is a curse and not a blessing. I repent, Father. I turn away from that. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. And in the name of Jesus, right now, for those things where an unclean spirit's been operating, I break your power now in Jesus' name. You get out of this church. You get out of every single life in Jesus' name. Because we're a royal priesthood. We're a holy people. And Lord God, where I've allowed these big jumbo jets of negativity or whatever it is just to hit my mind and I've welcomed them in, Father, I asked for your forgiveness. Jesus, I turn from that. Lord, Holy Spirit, don't let me be the judge and jury, Lord, where I decide what's good and Lord. Let you be the one who's Lord. Let you be the one who's Lord God. Father, where I've dropped the bar and I've lived so much down here and you've seen the effect of that upon my life and you've seen how damaged I've been. And Father, I thank you for the power of your blood right now. I thank you, Lord God. You are incredibly merciful. You are kind. You're compassionate right now. And Lord God, I thank you that I don't need to live in the power of the past. I don't need to live in the power of what has been before. But I can live in a new way. I can live for the honor and glory of your name, Lord God. Lord, I want to honor you in my body. I want to honor you, Holy Spirit, in our relationships. Lord God, in Jesus' name, yes. Holy Spirit, right now this morning, Whatever I do in word or deed, let me do it for the glory of God. Let me live for the glory of your name. And just know now that for those men that have been struggling with stuff, you could come and see me anytime. You can see the life group leaders. Don't live in a prison, because God has broken you out of that prison. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Then we have fellowship with one another. Thank God that the blood of Jesus does cleanse us. Just thank you right now for that cleansing. Just thank you for that cleansing right now. Lord, thank you for the cleansing power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the fire, Lord God. Thank you for that fire, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I don't need to live over, Lord, as someone as though like I'm in the dominion of darkness. But Lord, I thank you that I'm a child of the kingdom and I can live as a son. I can live in you, Lord God. I can live in you and have my being in you, Lord God. Let's just release praise now. Just praise him and thank him. Glory and honor and praise. Glory and honor and praise. Glory, Lord. Shame and guilt now. Broken in the name of Jesus. Everything of shame broken now. Right now, Jesus' name, right now, all across the room, things that have held us in captivity, broken now in Jesus' name. Thank you for the power of your blood. Thank you, Lord God, for your grace, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.